Is can we wait a minute or two? Or
yeah,
should we start? Yeah.
Moshe, let me just show you how the volume is if you want to adjust it. Since we're waiting.
Yeah.
Okay. This is the on off.
Yeah.
This is where the cord goes in.
Sure.
And then the
microphone
goes
in
here.
Yeah.
That's the volume.
Yeah, sure.
Cool. So I can turn that down.
It doesn't work.
Okay. And normally there will be coffee tokens. It looks like the coffee machine
is
not.
It's working.
It's working.
It's
working.
It's
working. So now we have to get the tokens. Okay, fine. It wasn't working as of we got tokens. Now it's working. For Hashem, we'll get more tokens. We'll get more tokens for the coffee, so you can have enjoy the coffee as well.
Since I'm here, I just want to take a quick poll. As Moshe mentioned, we do have a few expenses to make the shiur go on. It's important for us to know how people heard about the shiur, so we're able to put our resources in the right places. So if I could ask you please to raise your hand if your primary source of information about the shiur was through an email of any sort.
I think so.
Okay, could you please raise your hand if you saw a poster hung up either in a shul or somewhere else around the city? Okay, and please raise your hand if you heard about it from someone. Okay, people who didn't raise your hands, just please throw out a...
RBS
Views. Okay, that's good. I forgot about that. Okay, very good. Anyone see Meida Barama? Okay, that answers a very important question. Thank you.
Okay, what's up?
Okay, let's start. If parents are blessed with a really clear focus, then the first words that they'll educate their children about or show the children about is Shema Yisrael. Meaning, not necessarily the first words, but those are the most important words of introduction in chinuch with a child. If all went according to plan, and when a person moves on after 120 years, so the last words which a person says in Olam Hazeh, almost like a passport into Olam Habo, is Shema Yisrael. First words in, last words out. Perhaps we can take it further. Every single day, the day begins with Moide Ani, but the first and most significant words that are said at the beginning of a day are Shema Yisrael. On your pillow at night, when you fall asleep, once again you say Shema Yisrael. Day after day, week after week, for 120 years, one starts the day and ends the day, and starts a lifetime and hopefully ends a lifetime with this testimony of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Perhaps, bearing that in mind, the way to look at Shema Yisrael is something like bookends on a book. Supposing you take a book and you don't bind it. So you have loose leaves flying around, and you have pages which can easily fall out. In order to hold the sefer together, you must bind it well. It needs a good binding. A day has many events inside it. You have a meal here, you make a telephone conversation there, you make a trip here, you make a purchase over there, and there are many different events and incidents that occur in the course of a day. What the day needs, it needs a binding. It needs to make it cohesive, so that there is a thread which runs through all events from the beginning of the day to the end of the day. The binding is Kriya Shema at the beginning of the day and the end of the day, meaning the awareness of Oil Malchus Shamayim, the awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our duty towards Him, gives a cohesiveness. It gives a binding. It gives a source of, it's together, it's a thread. From the meal, from the purchase, from the trip, from the conversation, whatever you do, otherwise they're just loose leaves and the day doesn't have any cohesion to it, doesn't have any day towards it. Perhaps that's the reason why we start the day and end the day. And it's like a book, that all the pages have to fit inside the book. And if you would open the book and you look at the binding first of all, then you realize that what the book is all about. Similarly with Kriyas Shema. Once the day begins and ends, so you know what the day is all about. What is the day in the life of a Jew? It has a binding. And the binding is Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Once one grasps that concept, then you begin to realize how fundamental and how critical this statement is, this testimony. The day begins, the day ends. A life begins and a life ends. And Shema Yisrael becomes perhaps the most important statement that is said in the whole of a lifetime. I once heard from Rav Matis Yol Salomon, Shiye Bari, now the Mashgiach in Lakewood, that the English translation of Kabbalas Oil Malchus Shamayim, which is what the mitzvah is of Kriyas Shema, in English it doesn't translate well. The yoke of the kingdom of heaven. If you translate it as a yoke, it's a burden. And the first thing a person wants to do if he has a burden is to get rid of it, to throw it off. If you translate it as a yoke, a burden on top of you, then I suppose you could say by the time you reach the bed at the end of the day, you're exhausted and you can't wait to remove the yoke. That's not the meaning, said Rabbi Natsis Yol, of Kabbalas Oyer Malchus Shamayim. It's not supposed to be a burden, it's not a yoke that you trundle away and you're out of breath and you're exhausted from Kabbalas Oyer Malchus Shamayim. That's not the meaning. He explained that for a Jew, it's an adrenaline. It gives a beacon. It gives a focus for the trip, for the purchase, for the conversation, for whatever you do in the day. Shema Yisrael is supposed to not be a yoke, but for a Jew, it's a lighthouse. It shows you a way. It gives you a focus of what is my direction in life? What am I supposed to do with my day? For a non-Jew, he desperately needs a movie, a ball game, a round of golf, a rest, a vacation. He must have all these distractions because his day is so boring and it's so tedious. Without a distraction, whether it's legitimate or illegitimate, whether it's an enticement, whether it's drugs, whether it's drink, whatever it is, the day is so boring in a secular fashion without the distractions of the new car or the new wardrobe or the new wife or whatever. The day has no interest to it. Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, meaning Kriyas Shema at the beginning and end of the day, gives such a focus that, of course, a person needs a vacation, a meal and a restaurant. That's not the point. But he doesn't need to relieve the tedious routine because he has a focus. All the day is bound together with this concept of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, which is not a yoke, which is an adrenaline. It gives a whole inspiration of what is my relationship, Bein Odom LaMokoyim, Bein Odom LaChaveiroi. That is the meaning of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. And that is what Kriyas Shema is supposed to do for us every single day, at the beginning and end of the day. Perhaps we can explain in the very first Mishnah of Brachos, the Shas opens, the first Mishnah asks the following question. Mei emosai koirin es ha-shema ba'aravis. From when does a person start to say Shema at night time? In other words, what's the earliest opportunity in the evening that one can say Shema at night? And the Mishnah answers, Mizman shehakoyanim nichnosim le'echol bitrumosan. At the time when the koyanim can first eat their truma in the evening. Let me explain what this means. If a koyan wakes up in the morning or during the course of the day discovers that he's unclean, he's tomei, he's not allowed to eat truma. He has to go to the mikveh. Truma needs tahara. If he goes to the mikveh, let's say at 8 o'clock in the morning, he still can't eat the truma, because he's called a tevul yoim. A tevul yoim means he's been to the mikveh 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning, he has to wait until night time when he's allowed to eat the truma. He needs what's called harav shemesh. He has to wait until the evening, and then he can eat the truma. Why? Because the truma, even though he went to the mikveh, the truma lingered on. He went to the mikveh, but he has to see out the day until the evening to eat the truma. The question is asked in the Gemara. 1 minute. You ask me a question. From when do I start to say Shema in the evening? You answered me with an obscure din about Kohanim eating their truma. Why didn't you just tell me straight off? Nighttime. I don't need to know the din about Kohanim with a truma. Strange why the Tana in the Mishnah should teach me such a din. Just say, when do you start saying Shema at nighttime? At nighttime. And the Gemara answers with almost an off-the-cuff answer. Milsa agav urche kamashmanon. I wanted to tell you something by the way. Did you know, by the way, that Kohanim can eat their truma at nighttime? Asks Reb Shlomo Zalman Oivach, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha. Why do I need to know this din in connection to Kriya Shema? Again, the question. From when can a Kohen, when do you start saying Shema at nighttime? Says the Gemara, an obscure din about Kohanim eating their truma. Why did I tell you the din of truma? Because, by the way, did you know that Kohanim, who are Tomei, who've been to the mikveh, can only eat their truma at nighttime? And by the way, did you want to know that din? Asked Reb Shlomo Zalman. There's no such thing as by the way in a Mishnah. There's a specific reason why the Mishnah taught us the din of a harav shemesh, a tevul yoim, in connection to Kriya Shema. And this is the Ge'onus, the most beautiful answer of Reb Shlomo Zalman Oivach, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha. When the Kohen went to the mikveh in the morning at 8 o'clock, for all intents and purposes, he's really tohar, but the tumah lingered on. And when it comes to night time, then he can eat it. But he went to the mikveh. No, the tumah lingered on. Said Reb Shlomo Zalman, that was in the mind of the Tana in the Mishnah. When you say Shema in the morning, what is the first time that you can say Shema at night time? At night time. What message is the Mishnah teaching us? Just like the tumah lingered on until night time, so when you say Kriya Shema, the effect and the impression should linger on. And therefore, the Tana wanted to equate two ideas. Similar to the tumah lingering on with a Kohen, who's only Tohar at night time, so it is with every 12 hours. It's a shift. 12 hours from the morning till night time. The Tana wanted us to know not just the time of saying Shema, but the effect of saying Shema, the impact, should linger on. And therefore, that's the meaning of the beacon of the Oil Malchus Shamayim. The adrenaline lasts for 12 hours, and then you need to say Shema again for the next 12 hours. And that is the way, day after day, 12-hour shifts work, from Kriya Shema to Kriya Shema to Kriya Shema. Just like by tumah, the tumah lingers on. It's not just the din of nighttime. It's a din of appreciating that saying Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is a binding. It gives cohesiveness. It connects together the trip, the meal, the telephone conversation, the purchase, whatever I do, and that is my 12-hour shift. And therefore, Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim is a theme, the most dominant theme in the life of a Jew. To understand what does it mean, Hashem Elokeinu, which we're going to explain in this Shia, what does it mean, Hashem Echad, and what's behind the message of Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim. Before we enter into the details of what it actually entails, we must spend time and understand the concept of Kavona. Because Kriya Shema, since it's a testimony, needs Kavona. You need intention. The Shulchan Aruch, in Simon Samach, asks a question, and it's presented in the Shulchan Aruch as a shakla v'taria, as a machlekes backwards and forwards. Asks the Mishnah, the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber, mitzvahs tzrichas kavana or mitzvahs ein tzrichas kavana? And the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch, brings out at the end, mitzvahs tzrichas kavana. Every mitzvah needs kavana. Oy vey. What are we going to do? If every mitzvah needs kavana, then we're really in the soup. Because how many mitzvahs do we do which don't have kavana? And that is a serious, serious matter. Because I might amass together mitzvahs which I think I have, but in reality, if mitzvahs tzrichas kavana, how many mitzvahs do I actually do? And then I don't have intention. I don't have kavana. The Chofetz Chaim in the Mishnah Berurah comes to our rescue and explains to us, what does it mean, the concept of mitzvahs tzrichas kavana? And he explains that there are two types of kavana in the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Samach. The first kavana is kavana to the act that you're doing. Lechatchila, mitzvahs tzrichas kavana. You put on tefillin. You wash your hands for al netilas yodayim. You sit in a sukkah on the night of the 15th of Tishri. You light your candles before mitzvahs tzrichas kavana. Every act that you do needs intention. Mitzvahs tzrichas kavana. Oy vey. I do acts which I don't think about. The Chofetz Chaim in the Mishnah Berurah paskens like the Chaye Odom. And the Chaye Odom says as follows. If it's evidential, if it's clear from the act that you did it for the mitzvah, even though you never had kavana, you're yotza b'di'evid. Thank goodness. In other words, let me give you a scenario. The night of the 15th of Tishri, everybody in your house moves from the salon out to the sukkah. Beautiful sukkah you've built, and everybody goes and sits in the sukkah. You make the brachas, but no one has mentioned about kavana to do the mitzvah. So one minute, I didn't have kavana, mitzvah srichas kavana. Says the Chaye Odom, and the Mishnah of Paskins like the Chaye Odom, b'di'eved yo yotza. Why? Because it's evidential, it's obvious. What on earth did you leave the house for on the night of the 15th of Tishri, and if not, to perform the mitzvah of sukkah? Lechatchila, you should have kavana, b'di'eved yo yotza. Thank goodness. And therefore, if it's clear, why did the lady light the neiros just before Shkia on Leil Shabbos for the mitzvah? She never had kavana, yotza b'di'eved. Why? Because it's obvious from the act that she, what was she doing? Why did you wash your hands before a meal and say, you weren't thinking of a thing, you were thinking of something else entirely. You were spaced out, but you washed your hands and said the bracha. Lechatchila, one should have kavana, of course. B'di'eved, if it's clear from the act that you did, but you did it for the purposes of the mitzvah, yotza. That's the first kavana. The second kavana is that what you say, you must mean and intend. Lechatchila mitzvahs tzrichas kavana. And therefore, whenever you say asher yotza, whenever you say al netilas yodayim, whenever you say ashrei, whatever you say, shehakol nieh bidvorai al hamichyo, you always need to have kavana. Lechatchila mitzvahs tzrichas kavana. Says the Chofetz Chaim in Mishnah Berurah. However, if you said it and you weren't thinking, you're yotza b'di'eved. Lechatchila, you should think of what you're saying. But if you said an asher yotza, or you said a shahakol, or you said an al hamichya, or you said a birchas hamazon, and you weren't thinking what you were saying, but you said the words, your yotza b'di'eved. However, that rule does not apply to two passages that we say. The first is the first line of Shema until Echod, and the second is the first barocha in Shemona Esrei. B'di'eved lo yotza. If one says Shema and one doesn't think of what one's saying, Hashem, what the words mean, lo yotza. And the first barocha of Shemona Esrei until Mogen Avron. If you weren't thinking, then lo yotza. You need to have kavana. While we're talking about it, even though the shir is on Kriya Shema, let's mention the halacha in regard to Shemana Esrei, because we just said that the first bracha until Mogen Avron is critical. One has to have kavana. In reality, if you reach Melech Oizel, Umoshia Umogain, Baruch Ato. And you didn't say Hashem, and you suddenly realized, oh, I never had Kavona. Then you start again, not from Baruch Ato Hashem, you start from Elokei Avraham, Elokei with a hey. Elokei, no, you miss out Baruch Ato Hashem, Elokei Nuvelokei, it was Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchok, you go from there again. You can say it over, you can't say the first words, Baruch Ato Hashem, Elokei Nuvelokei, but from Elokei Avraham you start again. And hopefully the second time round, you'll have Kavona. However, if you said Baruch Ato Hashem of Mogen Avraham, too bad. You have to say Mogen Avraham and you don't go back. Why don't you go back? Because the Chofetz Chaim in Mishneh Berurah paskens according to the day of the Mogen Avraham, who says, we don't trust you the second time round. It might well be that you won't say it again with Kavona. And we don't want you to say a Bocha Levatola, so too bad. You missed it. And it needs Kavona. Of course, one carries on in Shemone Esrei and carries on davening, but the first bracha, which is critical, needs to have kavana. Again, if you didn't say Hashem, then you go back to Elokei Avraham. If you did, you have to go on Mogen Avraham and finish off. If you're in shul and you hear the chazan, so you'll listen to the chazan and say Amen afterwards in Chazor Sashatz. But for a lady, it's not possible. One has to be careful, and therefore think carefully of what the words mean as one's saying the first bracha. I hope in the future we'll have a shiur on Shema Nesri, but let's go back to Kriya Shema. In the first line of Shema, until Echod, also one needs to have Kavona in the first line. That is the reason why, in Shul, once we've said Baruch Ato Hashem, Haboicha Ba'amo Yisrael Ba'ahavo, there's a silence. What's the silence for? The silence is to think of the two Kavonas. The first kavona is that I'm about to perform a mitzvah. Which mitzvah? Kabbalas oil malchus shamayim. That's what the silence is for. That you'll think, you can't say anything, it's a hefsek. But you must think to yourself, I'm about to be mekayim the mitzvah of kabbalas oil malchus shamayim. Second kavona is I'm about to think of what I'm saying, that I know the understanding of the words. Two kavonas. To do the mitzvah, which is the first kavona. And the second is that I understand, I'm going to understand what the words are I'm about to say. You need that in order to say Shema. Maybe we can use a few of the tools that we bought in the last shiur that we had. You need an original mind for an authentic tefillah. Meaning, you need to think. You cannot say Shema without thinking. What am I saying? What am I doing? What is this beacon? What is this adrenaline that I'm taking in, which is going to bind every act that I have in the course of the day? It's going to be Shema Yisrael, Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim. You need to think it through. What am I saying? Again, the two kavanas before you start, to do the mitzvah of Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim, and the second is that I understand, I'm going to understand the words that I'm saying. I'm going to think of the words, and then you start it. I must mention that you can't have that gap of silence before Shemona Esrei. Before you say Shema, you can wait. You can wait and stop and think to yourself. You don't say anything, but you think of those two kavanas. In Shemona Esrei, once you said the words Goal Yisrael, there is a mitzvah of being Soimech Geula L'Tefillah. You must immediately start Shemona Esrei. So you don't have that opportunity of thinking, what are the kavanas I need for Shemona Esrei? You must start immediately. So if you need time to think and reorganize your mind before Shemona Esrei, you must do it before Tzur Yisrael. There you stop, and then once you said Goal Yisrael, immediately you must start Hashem Svasai Tiftach. But you need kavana for Shemona, for the first bracha. If that's the case, then it's worth every minute that we spend explaining what is the meaning behind each word in the first line of Shema? What is the meaning of each word? You need kavona. It means peyush hamilas. What do the words mean? Shema Yisrael, Rashi translates as being lekabel al atzmoi, not just to hear and accept upon yourself that I'm accepting Hashem's Malchus. Shema means more than listen. It means, Rashi says, to accept. Shema Yisrael, accept upon yourself. Hashem, we mentioned it, I think, in the first shiur, but I'm going to say it again. The word is said Ado and not Adi for Noi. It's not Adi and then Noi, it's a cholam. Ado and then Noi. Or Adoi, Adal, German people say, but not Adi and not Ado. And the word is pronounced Ado and then with a cholam, O. Not O, O, Ado and then Noi. It means my master. We've explained previously in the previous shiur that even though the letters don't say that, the letters say Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey, but we pronounce it with Adnus. Rabbeinu Bachai, we mentioned in the previous shiur that Rabbeinu Bachai explains that if we would say the Yud and the Hey and the Vav and the Hey, we would be over perhaps on Loisis Hashem Hashem Lashok, because I don't know what the words mean. I don't know what that letters mean. So we give the name Adnus, and it means the master of all. The master of all. The Mishnah Berurah paskens in Siman Dalet in Shulchan Aruch that whenever you ever say the Shem Hashem, all you have to think of is Adon HaKol, the master of all in creation. Kriya Shema is different. One also needs to have Kavona of Hoya, Hoive, V'Yehiyeh. He was, he is, and he will be. You need to think of two things when you say Hashem's name. The master, Adon HaKol, and also Hoya, Hoive, V'Yehiyeh. He was, he is, and he will be. Next word, Elokeinu. Elokeinu means our God. It means as follows. The word means that Hashem has all the koyach. He uses, takif, he uses all the koyach. And he's mashkiach and supervises everything that happens in our life. Elokeinu implies the director, the supervisor, the provider. And all koyach is in his hands, which he uses. That is the meaning of Elokeinu. I'd like to go off on a tangent and spend 2 or 3 minutes giving you props for Elokeinu. But when you say that word in Shema, you'll have something to refer to. The first word, Hashem, Adon HaKol, we don't even understand, but Hayahoyve V'Yehiyeh, it's Hashem in his essence. That word is beyond our understanding, but we have to say it. We recognize he is the master who was, is, and always will be. Elokeinu, we can give some support which will help us in saying the word with kavana. The Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Tes Zayin Omed Aleph, brings an interesting discussion between Eiv and Ribono Shel Olam. Eiv, with Job, with all his difficulties that he had, complained to Ribono Shel Olam and said, Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, you know what happened with me? A wind came along and switched the letters. I'm not Oyev, I'm Eiv. The Vav and the Yud have been switched around. You're looking at me like I'm your Oyev, meaning Aleph Vav Yud Beis. Said Eiv, no, I'm Aleph Yud Vav Beis. Eiv made that taina against Hashem. You think I'm your enemy like Paroi, but I'm not, I'm Eiv. And that's the reason why I'm having so many difficulties. The Gemara then brings down that Hashem, if we can say such a thing, laid in at Eiv and let him know exactly what was going on. Ribono Shel Olam said to Eiv, did you know, Eiv, that in all of your body, everywhere you, and all over your guf, two hairs can grow from one root on your guf, except on your head. On your head, never ever do you have two hairs coming from one, in English it's called a follicle, from one root. Never. Do you know why? Because if two hairs would ever grow from one root on your head, your brain, which is underneath, would exert such pressure on the brain, you would go meshuga, you would go crazy. You can only have one hair on one root on your head. Said Ribono Shel Olam to Eiv, Bein leguma leguma lo hichlafti, Bein Eiv lo oyev hichlafti. I never made a mistake between a hair on your arm and a hair on your head. Do you really think, Eiv, that I made a mistake between Eiv and Oyev? Second point, Hashem said to him, did you know, Eiv, when it rains, never ever can two raindrops collide. They always come down in a special passage, each one. If it did happen, cosmically, in the metaphysical world, I don't know how it works, but there would be another Mabel, if two raindrops collided. Bein tippa le tippa lo yechlafti, bein Eiv lo Oyev yechlafti. I never made a mistake with a raindrop. Eiv, do you think I made a mistake between Eiv and Oyev? Next point, and these are beautiful, beautiful arguments. Did you know, said Ribbono Shalom to Eiv, that there is a mountain goat who is exceptionally cruel, that when she's about to give birth, she stands on a mountain top and lets her baby just fall out and fall down the cliff and die? Did you know, Eiv, at the second of birth, when the baby is about to be born from the goat, I organized that an eagle, which in reality is a bird of prey, would normally eat up an animal, swoops in, picks up the baby as it's born from the goat, and delivers the goat in front of the mother, and the mother then nurses the child. Never, ever, ever is the eagle late. He arrives at exactly the right second. Bein dakha la dakha lo ichlafti. From one second to another, I never made a mistake. Eiv bein Eiv la Oyev ichlafti. Do you think I made a mistake? It's beautiful. What does it mean, hashgacha in Elokeinu? What does it mean that Hashem directs everything? The last one is evidently there's a deer, a certain deer, who is given a womb that is too narrow to give birth. And at the time of giving birth, she can't deliver the child, the baby, the fawn. At the second of birth, Ribbono Shel Olam organizes a snake, and the snake, a non-poisonous snake, bites the womb of the deer, and because of the shock, the womb opens up and the fawn is born, and the both survive. And the Maharsha explains in the Gemara in the back in Baba Basra that there is a nace inside a nace here, because whenever there are snakes in an area, they use the antlers of an ear to burn, and the snake is a repellent for snakes, the smell of the antlers burning. In this case, the snake comes to help the deer which is giving birth. There's a whole nes b'toich hanes here. These are incredible nisim. And the Gemara says again, bein daka ladaka, never ever does the snake come late. The snake comes and bites and the womb opens. Bein daka ladaka lo ichlafti, bein Eiv lo Oyev ichlafti. All these phenomenal miracles in Teva all give a backdrop to the meaning when we say Elokeinu. Elokeinu means that everything is instigated and everything is under his direction to the second, to the minute. And therefore Hashem Elokeinu, Elokeinu implies that he is the Bala Koichas, and he uses the Koichas and instigates whatever is necessary at times according to his design. We have the word Hashem, we've already explained what that means. Now, Echad. First of all, how do you say that word? You have to be careful, because you have to, in some way, stretch it out, because it needs a kavana that Hashem is one, above, below, and in all four directions. You need to think that when you're saying it. It's a little hard. And you have to say the word without changing the word. If you say Echad, it's a mistake, because there's no Shiva under the Dalet. So you have to say Echad, but not too long. If you were a Taimani, you'd have it much easier, because Taimanim say a Dalet with a V, so they can say Echad, and you can drag it out as long as you want. But Ashkenazim, who say Echad, it has to stop, Echad, not longer than that. So the best way of doing it, it's hard to think of everything at that time, you think of Hashem is one, one, and then afterwards, lamala ulamata, in all four directions. Those are the kavanas which are needed for the first line. That is the, it needs kavana, and the kavanas are, as we explained, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. After that line, one should stop, because then we are introducing a pasuk which is not in the Torah. The pasuk Baruch Shein Kavod Malchuso Li'olam Bored does not exist in Bo'es Chanan in the Chumash. We say it quietly. Why do we say it quietly, and why is it there? For that we have to refer back to an incident at the end of the life of Yaakov Avinu. On his deathbed, when he was about to die, Yaakov Avinu wanted to reveal when would be the Geula Shleima, when would be the final Geula, when the Mashiach would come. He was inhibited and restricted, and he realized that min hashamayim he was not being allowed to say when the Geula would be. He was disturbed because all his children were standing around his bed, and he thought that the reason why was because one of his children maybe wasn't zoicha to hear what he was about to say. And because of the pachad, and the children realized it, sitting around his bed, they turned around and said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echod, to show their allegiance and their devotion to Hashem. Yaakov Avinu, with great haidor and praise, out of delight of seeing that each one of his children were really great tzaddikim, answered and said, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso La'olam Bored. The question comes in as follows. Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah never said Baruch Shem. Yaakov Avinu did. Do we say it or do we not say it? We make a compromise and say it quietly. And that's why Baruch Shem is said, yes said, but it's said quietly. Out of what Yaakov did say it, but Moshe didn't say it. So it's whispered. On Yom Kippur it's a different avodah because the Malachim say Baruch Shem aloud in Shomayim. So on Yom Kippur we do, but other times it's whispered and said quietly. We could spend a whole evening discussing the kavanas needed to say Baruch Shem. And it needs kavana, not like the first line, but it needs, one has to have a thought in mind, what do the words mean? What's behind the translation of the words? The very first year we had, which was on Brochas, we explained the meaning of the word Baruch. Most Rishonim hold that the word Baruch means that Hashem is the source of all Brocha, like a reservoir. He is the store, the Makor HaBrocha, like the word Brecha, a reservoir, a pool. He is the source of everything. However, we brought an opinion of the Rashba. The Rashba explained that the word Baruch also means ribui, more of what there is, more of what there was. We actually find it in this week's Parsha, in Parsha's Toldos, when Yitzchak was giving the Brocha to Yaakov, and he said the word Ve'yiten Nocho Mitala Shomayim U'Mishmane Horetz. The Ramban brings out on the Parsha, what does it mean Ve'yiten Nocho? Ve'yiten, Ve'yachzo, Ve'yiten, Rashi explains. He should always give. Give and give more and continue to give. And that's the meaning of a Brocha, says the Ramban, which is really mentioned in the Tshuvas of the Rashba in Chelek Aleph, Tshuva Tov Kof Gimel. He brings down what the meaning of Baruch. Baruch also means ribui, more of what there was. When you say benching, Hu Noisein Lechem L'chol Basar, it's not only recognizing that Hashem is the source of Bracha, it's also that He should continue to give and continually to provide what we need in food. Hu Noisein Lechem Yachzor V'Yitein, He should always give us. And therefore the word Baruch has an implication of a ribui, more of what there was, and continually give the supply. Perhaps we can lift that commentary and put it into the second line of Shema. After we've said the first line, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Li'olam Bored. The meaning is, may His glory of His kingdom be multiplied and magnified and increased, and more people should recognize who He is. There are many other explanations of the name, of the line Baruch Shem, but I'm worried, Tofasta Meruba Lo Tofasta. If you give too much, you can't think of all that when you're saying Shema. But if, after you finish the first line, which is the most important line, you add in a Brocha. What's the Brocha? Baruch Shem Kavod Malchusei. May the glory of His kingdom always be. And that's the Kavona for the second line. That more people should recognize that Kavod Malchus Shomayim should become a well-known point of information in all of the world, in everybody, that everybody should recognize Kavod Malchusei. That is the kavana in the second line, Baruch Shem, that the Hashem Echad should be always recognized as who he is, and his honor should be magnified and increased. What I'd now like to do is, in the next Shir Mitzvah Shem next week, I'd like to show you how every pasuk inside the first parsha, Antulu Bishorecha, follows the theme from Shema Yisrael and Baruch Shem. That's next week. What we'll do for the rest of this week is concentrate perhaps on two other areas of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, of Malchus Shemaim, Kabbalas Malchus Shemaim, and next week go into the translation and explain what every line and how there is a common thread of every line from Shema until Uvisharecha. But let's go back to the first line again. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The Chofetz Chaim brings down in the first siman of Shulchan Aruch, in the Bi'ah Halacha, that there are six mitzvahs which are called mitzvahs tamidiyos, which one must always be aware of. Emunah, believing in Hashem, that there's no other God, that Hashem gives schar and oinesh, ahavas Hashem. And also, one of the mitzvahs which one is always obliged to keep is that the yichud of Hashem, that Hashem is one. When you say Shema, you are also mekayim the mitzvah of yichud Hashem, of remembering and recognizing that Hashem is one. Hashem Echad, yichud Hashem. That's behind that mitzvah. Behind Shema is also the yichud of Hashem, that Hashem is one. Rabbeinu Bachai, in his parsha, in the Peirush in the Chumash, in Vayis Chanan, explains that in the Sefer Torah, in the word Shema, the Ayin is written large, and the Dalet of Echad is written large, spelling out the word aid, a testimony. When one says Shema Yisrael, one is giving testimony, the Ayin and the Dalet, that I recognize with full allegiance that there is a master in all of creation and he runs the world. That's the Eidus, the aid. There is a little twist, a sting at the back of what Rabbeinu Bachai says, and he says as follows. A person can stand there and say Shema and shakel and close your eyes and say out aloud Shema Yisrael, but really in your heart of hearts, you really don't mean what you're saying. Says Rabbeinu Bachai, and the Ribbono Shel Olam testifies as to whether you testified honestly or not. So behind the testimony that we say, and Hashem knows that when you say Hashem Echad, that you really believe and mean what you're saying. And that's behind the Eidus. You testify, and Hashem testifies as such, kivyachol, that what you said you really mean. That's how far the testimony goes. Just as today, the Rav spoke to me, Rav Malinowitz, discussed with me, what is the meaning of the Malchus Shamayim? When I say Kabbalas Oyo Malchus Shamayim, where's the Malchus? What is the Malchus referring to? Perhaps it means that. That is, the Malchus is that I testify as a loyal subject that I know that the master of the world is one. That's the Malchus. That I testify in allegiance to his royalty, to his monarchy. That's the Malchus. The Malchus is that I testify to his Malchus. In addition, Rabbeinu Bachai brings down a remez. You know, the Torah can be learned in different ways. There's something called paldes. Paldes means pei is for pshat, simple explanation. Resh stands for a remez, a hint. Dalet stands for drush, which is a deeper midrashic meaning. And samach stands for soid, a secret. Rabbeinu Bachai brings a remez. A remez, it's only a remez, but it helps a great deal in concentration when one says the first line. He says that if you look carefully, the gematria of Echad is 13. In the very first chapter of the creation in Bereishis, the word Gan, of Gan Eden, garden, is written 13 times. He then says that in the Parsha of Matan Torah in Shemois, in Be'yisroi, in Peirut Yutes in Shemois, the word Eish is written 13 times. And Rabbeinu Bachai explains, when a person says Shema and testifies Hashem Echod, he is Zoicha to Gan Eden. That 13 is a remez to the 13 of Gan Eden. And yet if a person on the opposite, Chas V'Sholem, refuses to accept upon himself the Malchus Shamayim, then he receives the Eish of Gehinnom. How powerful this testimony is. It doesn't mean clearly if a person doesn't say, it means when a person refuses to accept the Echod, then he receives that Echod goes back to the Eish of Gehinnom instead of the 13 of the Gan Eden. So Remez, but it shows you how significant and powerful this paragraph is of Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim. The Maharal, in his commentary on Vayechi, asks a question which maybe you'd be thinking of, is why is it that when Yaakov Avinu saw Yosef after 21 years when he was missing, he said Shema? We know that Yosef was overwhelmed by seeing his father, but that moment Yaakov Avinu snatched the moment and said Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. What's, asks the Maharal in Gur Aryeh, what was behind the intention of Yaakov Avinu to say Shema when he first saw Yosef? And he explains, we know that in order to say Shema, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, b'shoch b'cho uv'kumecho, when you lie down and when you get up. And therefore we mentioned at the beginning of the Shia, Shema is said at the beginning of the day and the end of the day, in Shachris and in Ma'ariv, maybe for women when you go to sleep at night, but certainly in Shachris. But it's said twice a day, the 12-hour shift. Every 12 hours one says Shema. Why was Yaakov Avinu saying Shema at that time? Some commentaries explain that it was a time of Kriya Shema, but the Maharal says something different. The Maharal says that once Yaakov put his eyes on Yosef and realized that he was alive, he immediately dedicated that incredible delight and relief to see Yosef and said Shema. It was a moment of tremendous, tremendous joy. And he maximized on the time to say Shema. And therefore the Maharal explains, besides the davening, one can say Shema, you can say Shema 100 times a day, it's Torah. So long as you know what you're saying, you can say Shema a few times. But if something major happens in one's life, for good or for bad, to sit in the corner and say Shema is a testimony that what just happened to me, it's from Shamayim, it's from Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And therefore, besides the mitzvah saying Shema, if one can use that time, I don't know, a lady becomes a kala. He turns around and says to you, "You know, will you marry me?" I don't think she should say at that moment, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu. I don't think that's appropriate. Maybe when she gets back into her room. Oh, but to say Shema. Shema means I recognize, Baruch Hashem, where that act came from, for good or for whatever. Saying Shema is a yichud of Hashem. That yichud of Hashem testifies, I know the source of that act, what happened to me. And saying Shema, Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim, is an edus, is a testimony. I am fully aware that came from Elokeinu, the Mashkiach, who supervises every moment. I'd like to end this Shia tonight with halachas which are very relevant in how you say Shema, how it should be said, what's behind the Amira. The Gemara brings down, and also the Shulchan Aruch brings down in Siman Samach Gimel, in Shulchan Aruch Sif Vov, that the words V'dibarto Bom means that Shema should be said with a clear, coherent, articulate speech. It shouldn't be mumbled. It shouldn't be said like in a casual way. V'dibarto bom, says the Gemara, it should be said clearly as a speech, as a statement, like in English they would say, a statutory declaration. I'm declaring something which I believe with all my heart. And therefore, we have a halacha that the words that one says, you should hear them. L'chatchila, when one says Shema, you should listen to what you're saying. If you didn't do that, and you just read the words without hearing it, you're still Yotza. Ideally, not to shout it out, but you should hear what you're saying. Shulchan Aruch brings out, the Mishnah Berurah brings out, that the first line a little bit louder, because a not loud, screaming, but a certain voice, because the koil is Mo'ayre Kavona, a little bit louder, the first line. But if you just say the words and mouth the words, you're still Yotzah. But if you just look at the words and not say them, you're not Yotzah. One has to say the words with the lips. You have to shomea, you have to listen to the words that one's saying. The words should be very clearly articulated. Just as an Eitzah, everybody always has problems with Kavona. It might not look so wonderful to look at somebody, but I have found myself, whenever you have a problem with Kavona, if you open your mouth wide and say the words clearly, articulate the letters, it's far, far easier to have Kavona. Don't worry that people might look at you and think you're strange, so cover yourself, whatever. Oh, but opening your mouth wide and saying the words clearly, really clearly, it helps tremendously. For Shema, it becomes critical, because you have to be very careful to say the words clearly. As we know, you shouldn't say Uz Sechar Tem Eskom Z. The Zayin should be a Zayin, and the Sin should be a Sin. One has to be careful not to join up letters. V'ibadatem v'avadatem mehera, two mems, the mems should be separated. The lamads, if there's a lamad, b'chol levavacha, not b'chol levavacha, b'chol levavacha, the letters should be separated. It should be said very, very clearly. It's v'dibartobom, it should be a statement of fact, clearly explained. But also, in halacha, which is brought down in Shulchan Aruch and Samach Gimel, Siman Samach Gimel, also one has to be careful of any interruption in the middle of saying Shema. The halachas are really just the same as Shemoneh Esrei. You don't stand up, you sit down, but just as in Shemoneh Esrei, you're not allowed to talk or say anything in between, you can't in the middle of Shema, once you started Shema. In halacha, it's brought down in the Mechaber Shulchan Aruch not to give any sign language, there's no nu-nu, ah-ah, and shaking your finger and waving, none of that. Just like in Shemoneh Esrei. Exactly the same. You're not allowed to make any sign which might distract you in the middle. The Shaila is brought out, the Radbaz asks the Shaila, what about giving tzedakah in the middle of saying Shema? Certainly not in the first parasha, Tula Bishorecha. Chofetz Chaim brings down, and the Radbaz also in Tshuvas, that in the second parasha perhaps, Shlomo Zalman Neuerbach and the Chazanish, Zichronim Livracha, if an Oni would come over to them in the middle of Shema, so they would, in the first parasha they would not do anything. But in the middle of the second parasha, Reb Shlomo Zalman used to point, instead of putting his hand in his pocket, he used to put the money on the shtender and just point to a shekel, or point to something to take it. That's a minor distraction, only in the second and the third, but not in the first. The first is like Shemoneh Esrei. One sits down, no sign language, no hefsek, no talking, nothing which might disturb you, exactly the same as Shemoneh Esrei. However, for women, and this is an important aspect, what happens if you're in the middle of Shema and the baby starts screaming? Or a child with a dirty diaper comes over to you? Then you can't say anything at that point. You can't say anything because there's a smell. You're stuck. For that, you make a stop. You make a hefsek. Why? To remove any distraction which prevents you from doing the mitzvah, you're allowed to do that in Shemoneh Esrei. What happens in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei if you open up the Siddur and you turn the page and the page is missing? And the Siddur's missing a page and you can't daven without the Siddur. You stop where you are, remember where you're up to, take three steps back, three steps forward, and go and take another Siddur in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Because you can't carry on. You need a Siddur. It's Letzorech HaMitzvah. Similarly with a baby, if a child comes over to you, not to answer the phone or answer the door, but if you can't say Shema because a child comes over to you or there's a smell or something in front of you, then you stop where you are and go and sort out whatever the problem is. And you can start, when you start again from where you left off, on one condition, that you never said anything. If you say anything at all, whether it's in Shemoneh Esrei or in Kriya Shema, then you have to start all over again. So, again, if the child comes over to you and pulls on you and tugs you and you need to give him a cookie, so you can stop where you are, or you can even sigh, if the child will accept that, but if you want, you have to go and get a cookie, so long as you don't talk, you can come back and carry on from whenever you left off. Once you talk, then you have to start again. These are the dilemma of Hesek in the middle. anything which distracts you from carrying on doing the mitzvah, then you can relieve that, whatever the distraction is, so that you're able to come back and daven. It's the same as Shemoneh Esrei as well. A lady, for example, is in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei and she has to change a diaper or something like this from a baby. So you see where you are, you take three steps back, three steps, and you can carry on, if possible, to finish off the bracha. But if you can't, so long as you don't talk, you'll come back afterwards and carry on from where you left off, because that was only a distraction in the middle in order so that you can carry on saying the mitzvah, carry on davening Shemoneh Esrei. These are the points which I wanted to bring out in this shiur. The first is the theme of the 12-hour shift, that it's an adrenaline every 12 hours, and the impact has to stay from every 12 hours. That's the meaning of the Mishnah with the Kayanim, with the Truma. The oil, the burden, it's not meant as a burden, oil machus shamayim, it's meant as an adrenaline, to give you a focus. You don't need such distractions in life. When one realizes that everything is begeder, machus shamayim, that ties together everything in the day. We then mentioned the points of kavona, two aspects of kavona. Kavona to do the mitzvah and kavona to understand. First line of Shema needs both. Before you start, to have kavona to do the mitzvah and kavona of carefully what I'm going to say. The words, we explained what each word mean. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And we gave background to the word Elokeinu. Elokeinu gives backing to what does it mean, the supervision, the design, the hashkocha in every moment of a person's life. That's what Elokeinu means. Echad, one has to say carefully, Echad, how it should be said. Baruch Shem is a bracha. There's more to a Baruch Shem, but if one thinks as Baruch Shem as ribui, of Tosefes ribui, whatever there is, and more of Malchus Shemaim, that already is a perfect kavana. The dinim of Yichud Hashem, which is what Echad refers to, in the middle of Shema is also the mitzvah of Yichud Hashem. And perhaps a person could say Shema at any a moment, occasion, which brings great simcha, because you recognize it came from Shemaim. And finally, the dinim of how Shema should be said, and the dinim of a hefsek, and careful to make sure that it's said like Shemoneh Esrei, without any distraction. Mitzvah Hashem, the Shia next week will hopefully, Be'ezus Hashem, bring out all the aspects of the Ahavta until Uvisharecha, the themes behind it. I wish you all a good vach and a chodesh tov u'mevorach. A good chodesh. If there are any questions at all, yes.
How is the call, which our translation is Jill, mean German?
It's an oil which you need. It's not an oil that you want to get throw off. The oil does not imply that this is a burden. It's an oil which gives you life, which gives you direction. It's not to be regarded
it's
as
like an oil which is taken out on an animal.
Not that type of oil. The oil